If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God, but as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Let no one despise you, your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, and faith, love and faith and purity.
I thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Father, we want to thank you for your word. It reminds us, powerfully so, that you continue to be at work. Thank you for your grace in it all. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. There's another song that reminds us of God's presence in our lives, and it may surprise you which one it is. All or many of you know it, and especially those of you who do karaoke. Anybody do karaoke here? You can admit it. Anybody do karaoke? Okay. Anybody do karaoke in the choir? Nobody in the choir does karaoke? Really? Okay. All right. Well, this is a song that you've heard, and if you know it, join with me in singing it, okay? Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. To know me is to love me. I get better looking each day. I don't know the rest of it, but that's what I do know. I do know that part. Humility. Humility is sorely lacking in our society. There is an organization called the NFL. I don't know if anybody has heard of that before. The National Football League. Has anybody heard of that organization? Familiar with that? Okay. And I believe that, do they have games today? I think they have games today they play, possibly. And what is amazing to me, is that after an individual does what they're supposed to do, what they get paid millions of dollars to do, catch the ball, or make even a single tackle, we put up with this. you watch today. And they'll say, wow, that's, yeah. Want us as Christians to do that now. You see each other in Walmart, just don't do it too hard because you might have problems. Humility is sorely lacking. There was a book that came out in the 70s called Looking Out for Number One. Did great damage. It really did. It certainly did do great damage. It was exactly the opposite of what we are called to be about as believers in Christ. But, you know, this is not a new story. As we heard our brother in Christ share from Scripture today, it's something that continues to be a struggle, doesn't it? Remembering who's in charge. Remembering who continues to be the creative presence in our lives. Remembering who started it all. God. Humility is part of what we are called to be working on as God's people. And Paul speaks to that in these verses. Now again, in study Bibles, we understand that the headings that we have are arbitrary, okay? In this particular study Bible that I have, they didn't originally have headings in Scripture, and yet they help us. And I think it's a very good thing. In fact, at the very beginning of this Scripture passage that we've heard this morning, it says, imitating Christ's humility. I think that's good. That's a good thing to kind of keep us focused and centered on what is to come. If there's any encouragement in Christ, consolation, any sharing, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete, be of the same mind, be together, in other words. Continue to be at work, being about being Christ. What we understand in this, when we look at these verses, is that it really shouldn't be if there is any, but rather when you do these things, you're giving glory to God. Paul, in other words, was reminding the early church to act like they should. In other words, he was having an expectation for them and how they were to live in the world. Not saying, if it happens, I'm hoping it happens, folks, but rather, when it takes place, when you are being little Christ, when you are bearing witness to the resurrection, then indeed, joy comes about. Paul, while he was working with the church at Philippi, and then later, while he's in prison writing this letter, probably remembered them with nicer thoughts than some of the other churches he worked with. I don't know if this is going to be a shock to you, but sometimes churches can be discouraging places. Sometimes, rather than being inspired when you come through the door, you wonder, where's the next one coming from? Where's the next arrow? Who is going to step on me? What am I going to have to deal with? There's nothing wrong with bringing those things to the church. I will never say that you have to be completely together to walk in these doors. Because if that was the case, I couldn't walk in the door. I will never say that you have to be happy and joyful about everything. I will never say that everything has to be lined up and just going smashingly in your life, wonderfully so. Everything is hunky-dory because no one could be here. This, you see, is a place where God is at work. But when we bring those things into God's house, we may share them with one another, no question. That's part of bearing the burden as brothers and sisters in Christ. But who is it that we are called to lay it before? Who is it that we are called to bring it to specifically? We can have that mind of Christ that says, this is something that troubles me. This is something that is a weight on the deepest part of my soul. I know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to take it to God. In his life, think back. Did he ever go to God in prayer? Absolutely. Did he ever seek to have those times apart where he could really lay something before God? Absolutely. So if we are to be imitators of Christ, not simply impersonators, but imitators, then we are called to follow the same thing. That means it's okay to bring ourselves broken. That means it's okay to bring ourselves damaged. That means it's okay to bring our imperfect selves before God, because God is the one who will always receive that as a sacred offering. A broken and contrite heart is what God requires. That means when we are completely honest with God and completely open in our brokenness and saying, Lord, you knew this before I even knew my brokenness. You knew my problems before I was even aware of it. So, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you and lay it before you. And I know that you receive it as something sacred because you see me in the same way. Being of the same mind as Christ is going to be a challenge. It's nothing new. You know that. Trying to follow his example in a world that continues to slam against us, sometimes in a very jagged and vicious way, sometimes in a more subtle way, it's a challenge. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes being in the Word. It takes being in the Word again. It takes being in the Word. Did I say that already? Do you get that? Looking at what is truthful that we can trust. It takes being together as the church. Paul was very much also speaking about in this scripture about being there for one another. In Philippi, in Corinth, in Ephesus, in Gila Mountain, the story is the same. We are called to be there for one another. We are called to look beyond ourselves, to be selfless rather than selfish. Whenever we're tempted to go ahead and put that burden that we have on someone else and give them the anger that it's stirring up or the depression or the pain, and we're tempted to put it on that other person, we need to stop just for a moment and see them as a brother or sister in Christ. And maybe we pray with them about it, because that's another thing that we are called to do as Christians, is to trust one another and to pull from one another. And then who is it that we are called to lay it before? Who is it that we are called to lay it before? Is God ready for it? Yes. Does God want us to lay it before him? Yes. Is God seeking to receive whatever it is that we have to say to him? Yes. God can take it. Maybe that's something to keep in mind. God can take it. He's not going to shrivel up and go away whenever we lay that thing before him that we think, oh my, you know who. I don't know if he can take it. I don't know. He can. And this is the reason why. This last part of the scripture passage, well, actually the middle part, was actually a hymn that they used. Like we've sung hymns today. It's actually a song that predated Paul, but he pulled it into this particular scripture passage because it really reminds us of God's nature. You know, what I was saying before about songs that might remind us of God's nature, songs that we learned in Sunday school. Our sister in Christ shared one in special music today that point to God's nature. This is another one of those songs that points to something greater than ourselves. And sometimes the truth is a little bit easier to take whenever it comes in the form of a song, isn't it? Sometimes we remember it more. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And I'll also point right here, because some of you are wearing crosses today. That's the meaning of it right there, what I just shared with you. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Emptying himself and yet being exalted. Taking on the brokenness of the world and yet being lifted up above all names. See, it doesn't seem to work, doesn't seem to fit in a world where humility is sorely lacking. And yet this is our ethic. This is what we are called to follow. This is how we are called to live. Because in that emptying, in Christ emptying himself to take on the sin of the world, is the greatest passion that the world has ever experienced. And it's a passion, an incredible Emmanuel, or God with us, a wondrous, surprising love that continues to reverberate down to this very moment and then onward. That passion that Christ had in emptying of himself and in truly working to lower himself, to be able to take on all of the burdens, to be able to receive all of the sins as he's on that cross means for us that there is hope for tomorrow. It means for us that when we put others first, God is going to honor that. Maybe not immediately. And maybe not, hear this please, and maybe not in a way that we expect. That's kind of the kicker, isn't it? Because we think, well, if I humble myself, if I put that person first, then God's going to bless me. And then it doesn't come in the way that we expect. That's okay. It happens in the way that needs to happen. It happens in the way that God needs to work in our lives. And that's what's important. See, folks, we're in this for the long haul. We're in this for eternity. This is not about instant gratification. And Christianity is not about instant gratification at all. It's not about getting what we want. It's getting what we need. And it's about becoming greater. It's about becoming God-bearers. It's becoming little Christs that are in the world. It's becoming something that points towards God's grace no matter what is happening. And that, my friends, is probably the greatest strength that is ever exhibited in the human form. Whenever there's brokenness that takes place, whenever there's something that happens that is truly bad news, when we can be bearers of God's grace in that moment and in that situation and in those lives, that, my friends, is true strength, is true power, and it's true love. Is love always easy? Is it sometimes very tough to show? Absolutely. But when we become imitators of Christ, remembering what God did for us through Him, remembering that hymn that was in the scriptures today, remembering what it is to empty ourselves as well, to allow God to fill us and sustain us, then, my friends, we become so much more.